You can see condensed video versions of my devotional studies on YouTube. The graphics and the scripture verses displayed on the screen make these video devos an experience that will bless, uplift, and instruct you. Go to the YouTube website and type in my name, Dennis Pollack, and you'll quickly find our YouTube channel. For today's study, I have put together a few notes, and at the top of the notes, I wrote the words, what? What did I write?
Difficulty entering into God's kingdom.
Right. Difficulty entering into God's kingdom. Which, if you didn't know the Bible very well, you might be surprised by that idea that it's not easy to enter into the kingdom of God, or it's difficult. Some people might say, well, God wants us all saved, and he made it so easy. He just said, believe on the Lord Jesus. It shouldn't be difficult at all. And yet somehow it is. We do want to acknowledge right at the beginning, God did say in the Bible, God would have all men to be saved, or all women and all men, in other words. God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So no question, God wants us all saved, but not all get saved. That's the conundrum. God wants us all saved, but there's a whole lot of folks that are not saved. So apparently, God's will is not always done, and I think that's why Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In other words, it's not always done, but we should pray that it would be done. So let's start out with scripture from the words of Jesus found in Matthew chapter 19. Jesus said to the disciples, or his disciples, assuredly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's not easy, says Jesus. Now, here, specifically, he's talking about rich people. I think the idea is he's talking about people financially rich. You can be rich in different ways. But here, he seems to be talking about the financially rich. Well, there's just been a rich young guy that came up and said, you know, what do I need to do to enter the kingdom? And Jesus said, well, he started quoting some of the commandments. He said, well, I do all those. He said, well, what you need is one more thing. Sell everything you've got and come follow me. And the guy goes away sorrowful. He's not ready to do that much. And that's where Jesus says it's hard. It's not easy for rich people to enter the kingdom of heaven. Go ahead.
Now I have a question on that subject.
Okay.
You know, Jesus was like, sell everything and follow me. So was Jesus really inviting this young man to come and be one of his disciples?
Yeah, I think obviously he was. When he says, come follow me, right, that is a call to discipleship. Come follow me, be one of my followers.
Okay.
And don't let all those riches weigh you down. Just be a follower. Well, it would have been so much better had he done that, but he did not do it. And that's when Jesus turns to his disciples and said, I'm telling you guys, it's hard for rich people to get into the kingdom of God, to get into heaven, to become saved, in other words, the way we might put it. And I was reading this the other day, and I got to thinking about the different ways we can be rich, because it's not really just money. Some people can be rich in other areas. For example, some people are rich in intelligence. They're just highly intelligent, just have a brilliant mind. And they can think rings around everybody else. And they can answer questions other people aren't smart enough to even ask. And generally speaking, the most highly intelligent people of this world are not born-again evangelical Christians that go to church and say things like you and I do, praise the Lord, hallelujah, God is good all the time. Most highly intelligent people are not saved. Now, I'm not saying all are not saved. There are some very smart, and some of my favorite preachers have been some pretty sharp guys like Charles Finney, who had a brilliant mind. Jonathan Edwards had a brilliant mind, although they were very different theologically, but they were both geniuses practically. The Apostle Paul was a genius, very smart guy. So again, it's not all, but many smart people don't come to Christ. Some people are rich in various talents, and oftentimes that keeps them away from the kingdom. Some people are rich in beauty. Some women are just drop-dead gorgeous. Most of the most beautiful women of the world are not born-again Christians. Now, you're an exception. You know, praise God. Mm-hmm. I found me a beautiful woman that loves Jesus. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of beautiful women that don't love Jesus. And let me just give us a couple more scriptures. One is Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, where Jesus says this, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Well, this goes right along with the other thing, right? Mm. He says it's a wide gate that'll lead you into hell, lead you into destruction. Mm. And he said there's a whole bunch of people going in that gate. But it's a narrow gate. And what is the narrow gate? Well, we should say, who is the narrow gate? Who is that narrow gate, Benedicta? Tell us who the narrow gate is.
Well, the narrow gate, we might say, you know, Jesus is exactly. The narrow gate. And many are not really coming into, you know, that side of the life trying to go through him.
Right. Jesus is the narrow gate. And, you know, some people will say such stupid things. I mean, they're stupid according to the Bible. They may sound profound and wise and tolerant, like some of the celebrities will say, well, there are many roads to God. You have your way, I have my way. You're a Christian, I'm a different religion, or I'm no religion, or I just like to think positive, but there are many ways to God. No, not according to the Bible. Now, if you want to come up with your own religion and your own chapter and verse, then yeah, you can say something like that, but if you're going to believe the Bible, you cannot say it. Jesus says what? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man does
comes
what?
To the Father except through me.
Except through me, Jesus says. You don't get there. You don't get into the kingdom. You don't get into the family. You don't become a child of God. You don't get to the Father unless you go through what? The narrow gate. Mm. Or should I say who? Mm. And that is Jesus. Narrow is the gate. Difficult is the way. Once again, earlier he said it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now he says it's a difficult way. It's not easy. It's difficult, which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Mm. Very similar. Few who find it. But now he's not talking about rich people. He's just talking about people in general. There are very few that find it. And again, you could say that doesn't make sense. If God wants us all to be saved, and the Bible does say that, why didn't he make it easier than he did? And why can't most people get saved? Or maybe everybody gets saved. And some people will even go so far as to suggest that everybody is going to be ultimately saved. It doesn't matter what you do, God will find a way to get you into heaven, but that is not what the Bible teaches. Mm. Now, one more verse or passage along these lines, and then we'll talk about why this might be.
Okay, before we go into the one more thing that you have going,
okay,
I just wanted to, you know, where you read Jesus asking this guy to go, you know, do away with all that you have and come and follow me.
Right.
I just want to say something there. Like in our lives today, in actual thing, you don't have to go, you know, sell everything you have in order for you to follow Christ.
Well,
today.
That's right. Most Christians have yeah. never had that experience where no. they get saved, they sell everything, and yeah. they just go around looking to follow Jesus. Because yeah. number one, he's in heaven. You can't follow him here on the earth. But anyway, yeah. go ahead with your thought.
And, you know, what I'm trying to bring in there is like, you know, heaven is open for everybody, both the rich, the average, and the poor.
Yeah.
And Jesus is like, you know, letting us know that the kingdom is also open for the rich who think they have everything in life that they need. They don't need any other person coming to contribute into their lives. They don't need anybody to, you know, tell them what to do or give them directions.
Yeah.
Like in those days, I bought things, you know, I was like hardly making it. And then I have this rich uncle. And coming from the village, they gave me a lot of things. I'm like, hey, uncle, I got this from the village. I brought this to you. Uh-huh. It's, you know, from my heart, it's like, you know, you can take this to, you know, the family and then the kids can eat this, you know, bunch of banana, you know, like a whole bunch of it. I didn't even cut it. Uh-huh. He was like, no, I don't need it. I have everything uh-huh. I need. You know, go.
He was despising your gift.
Exactly.
You didn't feel too good about that, did you?
I felt so terrible, bad. And, you know, I'm like, I gave him this and then now he doesn't want it. He rejected my gift. So What I'm trying to bring out there is like they're rich, think they have everything. They don't want anything from you.
Okay.
And now Jesus offering this guy, you know, the kingdom. He's like, no, I don't need it. I rather go save my things. So what I'm trying to bring out there is like, no matter how much, you know, you have or how rich you have, better in the reach of your position, you are rich in position. You are, you know, the high and mighty. You need Jesus in your life because the riches that we have acquired in this world will not give us heaven because you can buy that heaven with your money. So you have to receive Jesus Christ and everything that will make you get into the kingdom when we leave this world, you have to work on it here on earth right now. And starting point is letting Jesus into your life as your Lord and your, you know, Savior and receiving the Holy Spirit in your life. And then heaven is yours.
Yeah. Well, you are kind of stealing my thunder from part B of this.
Oh, my goodness.
Study.
Why do I do that all
and
the time?
I don't think you even looked at it. I've got some notes here for you. But
okay.
you're getting into the why. Right
okay.
now, we're just talking about the reality.
Okay.
It's hard. It's difficult. Mm. And a lot of people don't make it.
Yeah.
Part B is why. Why is it hard? Why don't more people make it? Now, let me give you one more passage. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul said, this is Paul this time. The first two were Jesus. This time it's Paul. He says, you see your calling, brothers. In other words, look around at your calling and Christianity in general. He says, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Paul's like, look around. Mm. Most of us Christians are common people. Now, Paul was not a common. He was a brilliant theologian.
Right.
So he didn't really fit in that category of, you know, there's a lot of common Christians, but most were. And that's still true today. He says, look around, guys. Not very many wise, in other words, highly intelligent, worldly wise people are in the church. Not many mighty, powerful people, big people, celebrity type people. Not many noble are called. He goes on to say, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. So Paul is basically saying something very similar. There's a lot of people that seem to be rich. Maybe it's in power, it's in influence, it may be in money, it may be in celebrity status, and most of those, they're not in the family. And we look at Christianity today. Now, I don't just mean Christianity in general. I mean born-again evangelical Christians that love Jesus and go to church and read the Bible and say things like, praise the Lord. Mm. There aren't too many big shots, big people, celebrity people, highly intelligent people, not many in the family. There are some, praise God.
Yeah.
We've got our Pauls and Charles Finneys, you know, and people of our generation. We've got some smart ones around. But overall, most evangelical born-again Christians that love the Bible and love Jesus and live by God's moral standards, they're mostly ordinary folks. They work at Walmart. They work at the local hardware store. They're plumbers. They're school teachers. They're mechanics. Just ordinary folks, mostly.
Mm.
So now we're going to get to what you alluded to earlier,
okay,
which is the why.
Oh, okay.
We've seen the fact that it's true, according to Jesus, it's very difficult for rich people. And then he says, most people aren't going to go. And Paul says, look around, guys, look at the church. There aren't too many big shots in the church, mostly common. Why? Why is this? And I want to suggest two concepts, two ideas as to the why. Why is it most people that have a lot, whether it's they have a lot of beauty or they have a lot of intelligence or they have a lot of money or they have a lot of fame, why is it that most of the big people in this world are not born-again, evangelical, church-attending, Bible-reading, praise-singing Christians? Why? Why, I say? Okay.
Comfortability.
All right.
That's one word I have for it.
Okay. Well, that's not part of what I put, but there may be something to that. Concept number one as to why not. The concept is humility. In order to get into the kingdom, there has to be a humility that says, I need Jesus.
Mm.
I need God in my life. I'm not enough to run my own life. Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 18, assuredly, I say to you, unless you're converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Just like children haven't learned too much to be proud, and they're just, what you see is what you get. They don't hide much. They shout if they feel like shouting. They cry if they feel like crying. They don't think so much of trying to put on an image for anybody.
Mm.
Jesus said, you've got to humble yourself like a little child.
Right.
And come unto me, knowing that you need me.
Mm.
And typically, when you've got too much, you're rich in this world, maybe rich in money, maybe you're a billionaire, and you're looking around, and there aren't many like you, or even a millionaire, and you run your own business, and you're highly successful, and you look at other people, they're not successful like you are, they're not living like you do, they don't live in a house like you do, they don't drive a Mercedes-Benz like you do, and you're thinking, man, I'm at the top of the heap. These other people, they don't have it together, but boy, I've sure figured a life out. I'm doing so well. Very difficult for such a person to be humble and say, I need Jesus Christ in my life, and I'm nothing without it. Benedict and I represent a ministry called Spirit of Grace Ministries. We sponsor African missions in Nigeria and Kenya, where we provide free medical clinics, food for widows and orphans, and conduct evangelistic ministry, lifting up Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We also create Bible teaching videos and audio recordings like this one, because we believe that the Word of God changes lives. We would appreciate your support. If you'd like to help us reach out to the nations of the world, go to our website, spiritofgrace.org, and click on the donation button on the left sidebar. Once again, our website is www.spiritofgrace.org. So humility, the Bible says God resists the proud. These wealthy people, these powerful people, these noble people, these famous people, it's so difficult for them to be humble. And the Bible says if they're proud, they have someone who's resisting them, and that is God. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble.
Mm.
Now, if you're poor and you're barely making it in life, and you work at a job that's barely paying you enough for you to live on, and you live in a cheap little house or maybe a cheap rusting mobile home, and you're just not doing very well, you barely can function, you can barely eat, it's going to be hard for you to be too proud, because you look around and most people seem to have more than you do. And when someone comes along and says, well, you need Jesus Christ, you're probably going to be more open to listen to that message. You know, I'm thinking about you, how you were deathly sick. You had a combination of malaria and typhoid. And in your desperation, you humbled yourself and went to a pastor of a church you didn't attend. And you were just a good Catholic girl. You went to a Pentecostal pastor because you thought, well, maybe he can pray for me and help me. You humbled yourself. And then later, when you went to his church, God healed you. After he prayed for you the very next day, you were well. And then you went to his church the next Sunday. And he gave a call to come to Jesus. You didn't go immediately, but later he talked to you. And once again, you humbled yourself and prayed and received Jesus. And that humility opened up the kingdom of heaven for you. You entered the kingdom, but you weren't a rich lady, not rich in money, not rich in health, not rich in much of anything. You were just a poor high school student, didn't have much. But you knew that you needed someone. What do you say about that? I think I hit the nail on the head, didn't I?
Yeah, you nailed it.
I figured I did.
Right. So in those days, especially coming from, you know, where will I say, in the village or in the side of life where if you become born again, you know, the village or the city or the society or everybody, you know, will hate you.
Okay.
They'll be like, okay, you'll be like, I have found life. I've seen life. They'll be like, where you in darkness? You're a Catholic, you know, full Catholic girl. What are you coming here to tell us? So, and then another one was like, okay, we are not sinners. I was like, my friend and I, we were talking to each other. Okay, we're not sinners. We're, you know, little kids, you know, children in the school. Yep, So yeah. The sinners had to go and receive Christ here, yeah, not knowing that.
The pastor was calling for sinners to come forward at the end of the service to receive Christ. And you looked at your friend and said, well, we're not sinners.
We're not sinners.
But something changed for you, right?
Something changed. Something really, changed when he now called for, blessings. And come and receive blessings. He was calling for people to receive Christ, knowing fully well, that he knew me from the compound where we're living together, that this girl from her and her uncle that she lived with, the whole family, they are not born again. And then looking at me like, come and receive Christ. I'm like, no, not for me. And then when he called, come and receive your blessings, gonna pray for you for blessings. And then my friend and I were like, yeah, we surely need blessings right now. We need money, we need food, we need, living in the dormitory is hard. So let's go and receive prayers. Then we came out, he was like, got you. Come, stay over there. Two of you, stay over there and wait for me.
Yeah.
And that was, after praying for the blessings, he called us, separately and be like, why didn't you come out for, altar call? We were like mumbling our mouths, not saying too much. He was like, okay, now you're going to receive Christ. I'm going to pray for you. And then from here, you're going to be coming for prayers for 7 days. I'm like, good Lord, help us.
But you did. You prayed that prayer?
Yeah, we did. We prayed that prayer and received Jesus and then did the prayers that he called, he gave us, and then from there, like something was like magnets drawing, both of us closer and closer to, God. And then we were like focused and then learning more and knowing more and at the same time loving every moment of it.
Yeah. So you humbled yourself.
Yeah.
When he told you you needed to pray and receive Jesus, you did. And then he told you need to start coming to church every day for the next 7 days and we're going to pray some more for you. And you did. And from then you were hooked and you started coming to church regularly and the rest is history.
And so, that tells me that the Lord is good.
Yeah.
And Jesus is, kind of everything. And when you get closer, you will know how good the Lord is.
Amen. Well, the Bible says taste and see that the Lord is good.
I tasted and then I found out.
Yep. And the same thing was true with me. We won't take the time to go into my story, in some ways similar, in other ways very different. Mm-hmm. So, number one concept, the reason people find it hard, again, Jesus said it's hard for rich people to enter the kingdom of God. And then he said it's a wide gate that leads to destruction. Most people go there. It's a narrow gate that leads to life. Very few find it. So, apparently, it is not easy to get into the kingdom of God. And number one reason we mentioned was humility. Jesus said you've got to become like a little child and humble yourself. The number two concept that we need to see that is responsible for the fact that it's difficult to get into the kingdom is the idea of dependence. God is calling you, when he calls you to Christ, to live a life in dependence upon Jesus and upon God. Jesus says, John 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do what?
Nothing.
Without me, you can do nothing. Well, if that's true, then we need Jesus. I mean, we really need him. If I can't do anything without him, then I better get him. I better get him in my life.
Yeah.
I don't want to go around doing nothing all my life. And that's what the world is doing. They may be wealthy. They may be famous. They may be politically powerful. But if they don't have Christ, they are doing nothing. So he says, you're dependent on me. Paul says this in Galatians 2. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So again, the dependent life. It's not even me really living it. It's Christ. I'm involved somehow, and yet it's Jesus working in and through me. Dependence. And then one further verse, 1 Corinthians 1, starting with verse 30. Of him, Paul says, you're in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. Who is our wisdom? Jesus is our wisdom. And and Paul goes on to say, and righteousness, Jesus is our righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, or the way we would say it, he who boasts, or he who brags, let him glory, or boast, or brag in the Lord. In other words, our boast is not in ourselves. not in how smart we are, not in how beautiful we are, not in how wise we are, not in how powerful we are, not in how much money is in our bank account. Our boast is in Christ. Well, that's a place of dependence. We need Jesus. We need him to be our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. So we come running to Jesus because we know we need him. But the problem for the people that are too wealthy or too powerful oftentimes is they don't want to admit, I need Jesus. Because in their minds, I'm doing really well. I mean, I'm better than 90-some percent of the people around me. I'm richer than they are. I'm more powerful than they are. I live in a better house than they do. I'm just better. So why in the world would I need Jesus? And that's why the gate is so wide, and that's why rich people don't typically come. Praise God, some do. So in order to get us to the place where we're ready to come into the kingdom of God, God has to humble us some way or another. In your case, he humbled you by letting you get terribly sick to the point where you thought you might die. And you learned quickly to be humble because you didn't have much choice. In my own life, there was a humbling process that went on. And God almost always has to either allow us to live in humble circumstances or humble us in a specific time in our life to where we look toward him. Because if you're doing really well and you're just feeling fat and sassy and like you've got the world by the tail, you're not going to humble yourself and come running to Jesus. You're going to feel like, I did it, I earned it, I deserve it, I worked hard for where I am, and I don't need anybody else, thank you very much. But when your life starts falling apart, sometimes you look outside yourself, and you know what? In the end, you will thank God your life started to fall apart. It was the best thing that could have happened. Sometimes when a sinner's life starts falling apart, maybe their marriage falls apart, or maybe they lose all their money, or maybe they get fired from a job, or whatever it is, and suddenly everything looks terrible, and then they look to God, and they reach out, and they receive Christ by faith, and they're born again. They can look back later and say, praise God, he allowed my life to fall apart, so I would look to him, because I would have never looked had things gone on so well as they were before.
Yeah.
We need Jesus, but the problem for a lot of people, and a lot of rich, powerful, important people, is they don't know they need Jesus.
Yeah.
Sometimes God has to give them a visible demonstration of how much they really do need Jesus. And then when he puts their life back together, and now they've got the money and everything's going good, they still remember, they still know, yep, I may be doing better than I used to. I may have money in the bank, and I've got a good job, and I'm living in a nice house. Things are going well, but I know this. I need God all the time.
Yeah.
I need Jesus all the time. They live in a place of dependence. They live in a place of humility, and all is well.